Brother Titus was going to preach my message just before dinner. In Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm going to use several passages of Scripture here to begin with. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And then we'll go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, plural, and see, and ask for the old paths, plural. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, you don't get lost when you stay in the paths. You don't start going off in another direction. Try to keep that in mind. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 32... For ask now of the days that are past. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing at this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Now turn back here to the book of Psalms chapter 44. Psalms chapter 44. I'd like to read one verse there. Psalms 44 and verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. In the times of old. Now in the book of Lamentation, chapter 5, and we'd like to read verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Renew our days as of old. That's our subject. Renew our days as of old. We wonder what's wrong today in our own personal lives, in our homes, and in our churches. I believe one of the things that's wrong today is that we have departed from the old paths. And we won't listen to those of old. I believe that's a very serious problem in our churches today. And I believe what the psalmist was saying here this afternoon was, turn us around and bring us back to you again. Turn us around and bring us back to you again. And I believe that's needed today in our own personal lives, in our homes, and in our churches. And so we see here from these passages of Scripture this afternoon, it stands to reason that they had turned in the wrong direction. They had turned in the wrong direction. And we need to consider the days of old. In fact, in the book of Psalms, chapter 77, turn back here just for a minute. In chapter 77, and we'd like to read a couple verses there. In verse 5. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Now, also in verse 11, let's read that verse also. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Thy wonders of old. And I couldn't help but think about the children of Israel. The many times that God had blessed them. And God had delivered them. All the times that God was with them. And we need to stop this afternoon and consider these ancient times. The ancient times. And so they realized that if they were going to be turned, that the Lord was going to have to turn them. And if we're going to be turned today back to the Lord is going to have to turn us back to Him. And if our churches are going to be turned, the Lord is going to have to turn our churches back to Him. We will not do it within ourselves. And this is what the cry was here. Lord, You turn us. You turn us back to You again. And He told them how that they were going to have to be turned. And so they had confidence that He could do that very thing. That He could turn them back to Him. And He can turn your life around this afternoon. You're lost. You're not saved. Your life is in a mess. The Lord majors in those things. And He can turn your life around. You're here this afternoon. You're away from the Lord. You've backslidden. You've gone away from Him. The Lord can turn you around this afternoon. And so, I believe this verse here in Lamentations is also telling us that they had one day, been close to the Lord. Turn us back to You. And so they knew what it meant to be close to the Lord at one time in their life. And so we see here that I believe that the better days were the days of old. In Psalms 143, notice verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all Thy works. I muse on the work of Thy hands. And that's what we want you to try to do this afternoon. We want to go back and sort of jog your memory a little bit and go back in the olden days and just refresh your mind about some things that God has done in your life. How that God has worked in your life. And so, do you remember the good old days? And I believe that we all have some good old memories about the good old days. In the good old days, we had the Ten Commandments on the walls and prayer in our schools. Where are we at today? Where do we need to return to? Where do we need to go back to? In the good old days, I didn't have to worry about getting shot when I went to school. But I believe today that we're living in perilous times. We're living in dangerous times. They didn't have these kind of problems in the good old days. Did they? And so, in the good old days, I didn't have to worry about the drug traffic. Why are we having all these problems? I believe one of the reasons that we're having all these problems is simply because we have departed from the old paths. And we need to get back in the old paths. In the good old days, sexual immorality was a disgrace. Where are we at today? Anything goes. That's where we're at today. And it's simply the reason is we're there is because we have departed from the old paths. And we're not walking in the old paths. In the good old days, God's people had a love for the Lord and a love for His church. We'll comment on that a little later. And so may the Lord renew our days as of old this afternoon. May the Lord, first of all, renew our day of salvation. May the Lord renew our day of salvation. I want you all to go back to the day you were saved.
Amen, brother.
You all back there? Man, I wish every one of you could be up here. I mean, everybody in here smiling, just about. And that'll encourage you to go back to the old paths. Look with me to the in the book of Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians. Let me get over here. I'll get out of 1 Corinthians here. In chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We that are saved this afternoon all had a day of salvation. We all had a day of salvation. The Apostle Paul had a day of salvation. The Philippian jailer had a day of salvation. The Gadarene had a day of salvation. The woman at the well had a day of salvation. Nicodemus had a day of salvation. The eunuch had a day of salvation. Y'all take that back and preach it Sunday. But they all had a day of salvation. And you're saved by the grace of God this afternoon. You also had a day of salvation. And it was a glorious day. It was a happy day. It was a day that I'll never forget. It's a day that you'll never forget. I can go about 85 miles west of here. And it's just as vivid, it's just as real as the day that it happened to me this afternoon. And it causes my heart to bubble over with joy to realize that the sovereign God of this universe was pleased to deal with such a sinner as I and save me by the grace of God.
Amen.
And that causes me to love Him more, to appreciate Him more, to draw closer to Him, to want to be more obedient to Him, and want to walk in the old paths. In the book of Acts, chapter 8 and verse 39. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And so we see here that the Lord delivered us. He gave us salvation. You know, one of the first things I did when I went home, that day the Lord saved me that morning, I went home. I went home and I got the dictionary out and I looked up the word salvation. You know, I had preachers and I had people at work was witnessing to me and talking to me about salvation. And I knew that something had happened to me. You know, I knew that I was different. I went home, got the Webster's Dictionary out, and opened it up, and looked up the word salvation, and it meant deliverance. Yeah. I said, hallelujah, that's what happened to me.
Amen.
You know, I've been delivered from my sins.
Amen.
And that caused rejoicing just like it did with this fella here.
Yeah.
You're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior. The day that the Lord saves you will be the greatest day and the happiest day and the most joyful day that you have ever experienced. And so, may the Lord renew our day of salvation. And may the Lord renew our love and conviction for the truth. We need that. We take a lot of the truths that we believe this afternoon for granted. Look with me to the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Let us notice verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. I remember the day that the Lord showed me the doctrine of eternal security of the believer.
Amen, brother.
And I mean, the day that the Lord showed me that doctrine, it came unto me in power.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I thought that was the greatest thing that I had ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Amen.
That I was saved forever.
Yeah. Amen.
That I could never lose my salvation.
Yeah.
That I was once in grace and I would always be in grace.
Yeah.
I could never lose my salvation. But now you hear the doctrine of eternal security preached, and we sit there, I heard that before. Y'all see where I'm at? It's just some old doctrine. Instead of blessing our heart when we hear it preached, to realize that we could still be in our sins. And the Lord was pleased to reveal unto us and to show us from the Word of God that we are saved forever. And so we need for the Lord to renew our love and convictions for the truth. And the doctrine of scriptural baptism. I remember that old preacher of old, Brother V.A. Turner. We went and visited his church on a Sunday night, and we walked in there. And the first thing he did was he started praying. And I thought to myself, what in the world have I got myself into here? And he got through praying, opened up that Bible, started preaching. Started out real slow. And it wasn't long, he got wound up. And I said to myself, this is it. That man has the truth. And he was at my doorstep the next morning, just about before we got out of bed. And he was there, and he opened up his Bible, and he showed me what I needed to do next. He opened up the Bible and started showing me scriptures concerning scriptural baptism and what I needed to do. And I said, praise the Lord, this man has the truth. He's telling me right. He's telling me what I ought to do. And the Lord convicted me of that. And I couldn't wait till I followed the Lord in baptism. So that following Sunday, we went forward. I had my son with me. He was 4, I think, or 5. Scott, my oldest son. And I went forward and I told Brother Turner. I said, Brother Turner, I said, I'd like to be baptized. And I'd like for you to baptize Scotty also. I mean, I got a good dose of it. And he razzed me all the time. We were there with him. But you always that green too. You may not admit it, but you always that green too, probably. Of course, we found out later the truth about don't baptize babies, you know. But it was a glorious doctrine. It was, to me, it was a great privilege and a great honor to be scripturally baptized. And the more that doctrine was preached to me, the more I appreciated it, the more I loved it, and the more I love it today. Every time I hear it preached, every time I preach it, I realize that it was a great honor and a great privilege to be a member of the Lord's church to have scriptural baptism. I don't take that lightly. I praise God for it. And we're just trying to renew your love and convictions for these blessed truths. And then I also remember when the Lord showed me the doctrines of grace. I remember the first time I heard some preachers talking about election. And I really perked up, you know. I really wanted to listen, you know. I'd never heard this. Something I'd never heard. And really what I was trying to hear was, who was running? You know? You say, man, Brother Jones, you wasn't that green. Yeah, I was. But the more I heard those truths preached, the more it blessed my heart. And the more that I hear it today, these are not just old truths to me. These are blessed truths that God has been pleased to reveal to me and to show to me. Amen. And I love them and I appreciate them. And they ought to become more precious to us every day that we live. And the longer we serve Him, they ought to become more precious to us. And so may the Lord renew these days of old. And then I couldn't help but think about David, back here in Psalms 51. Psalms 51. When David was backslidden. I want to read a few scriptures here in verse 3. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." And he goes on to say, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." His desire was the Lord, that the Lord would clean his life up. First of all, that the Lord would forgive him. He desired to walk in the old paths. He knew what it was to walk in the old paths. He knew what it was to one day be close to the Lord and living for the Lord and being a man after God's own heart. He knew what it meant. But he had gotten away from the Lord. He had got backslidden and away from the Lord. And he needed the Lord to renew unto him the days of old.
And he's crying out to God here. And in verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart. At one time, he had a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Amen. He knew what it meant. And he knew what it felt like to have a right spirit. You know, you get away from the Lord, you get backslidden away from Him. You're not in the right spirit. You don't have the right spirit. You don't have a clean heart, and that's the problem. And so he desired to have a right spirit. And he wanted the Lord to give him that right spirit. And he said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Boy, I tell you what, it's a miserable condition to be in when you're backslidden and away from the Lord, and the Lord doesn't speak to you.
Amen.
The Lord just leaves you to yourself.
Amen, brother.
I've heard Brother Clark say it more than once. He never wanted the Lord to leave him to himself.
Amen.
And we've all been there. And David, here he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Yeah.
You're here this afternoon and away from the Lord, and maybe that's your desire of your heart even right now. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Yeah.
Renew our love and conviction for the truth. Renew the day he called you to preach. Y'all there? You preachers?
Yeah.
You remember that day?
Yeah.
What are y'all smiling about? Huh? That's right. Y'all remember that? Where are you at today? Where are you at today? Not only us preachers, but every person here that is saved by the grace of God, where are you at compared to the day that the Lord saved you, the day that the Lord called you to preach? Where are you at today spiritually? And that'll help us to realize how important that this message really is. I can't answer that for you. But you know how far away you are.
Yeah.
You know how close you are.
Yeah.
And I don't have to ring your bell to let you know where you're at. You know exactly where you're at spiritually. Don't blame it on the preacher. Don't blame it onto some other member in the church. Don't blame it onto something that's going on in the church. Or something that's going on in the home. That's not the problem. The problem is you. The problem is me. Why is it that we always want to push it off on somebody else? Why is it? You know, there in the book of Acts chapter 22, in verse 15, the Lord had just saved Paul. Wasn't saved long. He says, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. I mean, immediately the Lord called Paul to preach.
Yeah.
Called him to be his witness. Remember when the church sent you out?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
About ready to do with Brother Mark. He's not going out on his own. That's the scriptural way of sending men out. They're sent out.
Amen.
In fact, let me show you this over here in the book of Acts. I'm sure you've read it several times, but in Acts chapter 13, in verse 3 and 4, he says, and when they had fasted and prayed, when the church, he's talking about the church, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The church sent them away.
Amen.
So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so we need to rejoice in these glorious occasions in our life. And then last of all, I told Brother Randy Titus the other night, told the church there, I said, this is a shotgun scattered message. He said, that's all right. He said, you hit more that way. My last point. May the Lord renew our day of marriage. And I believe this is one of our serious problems in our churches today. You say, well, our flame is about ready to go out. Whose fault is it? It's her fault. No, it's not. It's his fault. No, it's not. Both of you are at fault. You're both responsible to keep that flame burning. I don't care if you're 40, if you're 50, if you're 80. That fire still ought to be burning. God has joined you together. God has united you together. Sometimes it seems as though we forget some of the passages of Scriptures concerning marriage. And you know, the Lord has a lot to say about marriage. The Lord has joined us together. Whatsoever God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And that word asunder means pull apart. Let no man pull apart. It also means separate. It means divide. And so you let no man, let not man... Turn over there. I quoted that wrong again, Brother Randy. And we've all of us have probably done this in the book of Matthew. I'm getting all excited here. In Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19. And let us look at verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one. One plus one is two, right? God's mathematics, one plus one is one. Did y'all get that mathematical problem all settled? Isn't that right? What therefore God hath joined together, let not. It didn't say let no man. I've quoted that verse 100 times probably and have said let no man put asunder. It didn't say let no man put asunder. He said let not man put asunder. And that's a double negative. You school teachers, is that right? Let not man put asunder. Let not man pull apart. Let not the lawyer pull apart. Let not the judge pull apart. Let not mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa put asunder or pull apart or separate. So, well, I'll just get a legal separation. Big deal. I don't find that in the Bible. It's not there. Let not man put asunder. Now, notice in the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis chapter 2. Notice verse 24. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Now that's how silly that junk is. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You're married this afternoon. You're in it for the long haul. You're to cleave unto your wife. You're to cleave. You're to cling together. That's what it means. To cling or to stick to. And it also means cemented to. You are glued together. And you can't get God's glue undone. When He glues you together, you're glued together. You're cemented together. I like that, don't you? And I'll tell you what, the devil's doing everything he can to work in every home that is here this afternoon. He would delight in every home here to be separated, pulled apart. Every preacher's home here. The devil's out to destroy your home. Why can't we treat our wife like the Lord, tells us to in the Word of God? Why can't we just do that? And why can't the wife just treat their husbands the way that God told them to treat them? And there would be no more divorces in our churches if we would just do that. And whether you're not saved, whether you're saved or not, God still has something to say to you about that also. You say, well, Brother Jones, I've messed up. I've already messed up. I've already gone through this. I've already been married, been divorced. I can't do anything. Yeah, you can. Listen, try to remember this. You can't unscramble eggs. They're scrambled. But what you can do is realize your limitations. Men, you can never be a deacon. You can never be a pastor. Ladies, you can never be a pastor's wife. You can never be a deacon's wife. You realize those limitations and you go on, live for the Lord, give it all you've got. Realize the things that you can do and the things you can't do, and go on and live for the Lord, honor the Lord with your life. There is some things you can do. You can go on and you can live for the Lord and you can serve Him with all your heart. Don't sit around and use that as an excuse. And don't go letting that get you down. You know, you go on like you do any other mistake that you might have made. But the Lord made yours in taking care of messes. And we need this. We need this. So we need to be reminded of the vows that we took before the Lord. And so after reading all these passages of scriptures today, do you see the need of renewing your days as of old? And let me say this also about the marriage. The undertaker and the upper taker is the only way out of the marriage relationship. Let me say this also. Now, Brother Jones, you've done pretty good now. You haven't gotten any hot water and everything. Don't go getting into that now. And let me say this also. Christians should never be married to the unsaved under any condition whatsoever. Look at 2 Corinthians. And we'll close with this. See, why do you preachers lie like that all the time? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, kids, did you understand that? You kids at 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, not married yet, don't forget that verse.
Amen.
Go home and memorize it. The saddest day of your life will be the day that you marry an unbeliever.
Amen.
And that's when your trouble just begins. He said, oh, Brother Jones, you don't know. He's a hunk, boy. I mean, he is really something. And she is the most beautiful girl that you've ever seen. In fact, she was queen of her school. She was beautiful. She even ran for Miss Michigan. I mean, she's beautiful. It'll still be the saddest day of your life.
Amen.
Then he says, and what concord, and what concord, what harmony hath Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not that unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Amen.
May God grant us the grace today that He'll renew our days of old. And we'll rejoice in these truths. Not get mad at them. But we'll rejoice in them. That God has brought them to our minds. Brought them to our heart. I tell you what, I believe this message will cause us to be a lot better church member than what we have ever been if we just take heed to it. And may God grant us the grace to do that. Brother Tad.